Good morning. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ United Methodist Church and New Burlington United Methodist Church's online worship service. We're so glad that you joined us today. Today's a special day as we celebrate together Palm Sunday, that day in which we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that little donkey, the people in the crowds waving palm branches and laying their cloaks upon the road for Jesus and proclaiming Him King, proclaiming Him Messiah. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus has come to save us. And that's precisely what Jesus did. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, He was riding into those last days of His life. As He rode into Jerusalem, He was riding toward that cross on Golgotha. All this day we remember Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He truly is crowned as the one who is above all, but at the same time, the back of my mind and the back of our minds is the cross, and soon He'll be making that way up that hill of Golgotha to be nailed upon that cross and crucified for your sin and for mine and for all humanity of all day and all time. And we give God thanks this day that He made the way possible that our sin can be forgiven and we can have life with Him, not just here on this earth, but also with Him for all eternity. And so this morning, let us give thanks and let us prepare our hearts for this morning's worship as we share together in Psalm 118, beginning with verse 1 and 2, and then 19 through 29. Hear the word of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Oh, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and He has made His light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. This is God's word for you, God's people. We give God thanks. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you this morning for this day that you've given us, this Palm Sunday that we gather as your church and celebrate your goodness and know that you are God and that your love never ends, that you are the King of Kings, Jesus, and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would move in our hearts and our lives. Be present to those, each one of us, in our homes this day. Protect us, watch over us, especially be with those who are hurting in our world, those who are anxious about tomorrow and what it might bring. God, you are the one who makes the valleys rise up. And God, you are the one who makes the crooked ways straight. And God, you are the ones who can lower the mountains. And so, Lord, we pray that you would truly lower the mountains for us, make them passable as we fight and as we struggle against an unseen enemy. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to just be present with us and help us to be your church. Help us to celebrate your goodness and to reach out and not to isolate ourselves from one another socially, but being able to be there for one another, picking up the phone and sharing in your goodness and just loving on one another as we can. Lord, help us to just press forward in these days and press through this and give us the power of your Holy Spirit to enable that. Lord, again, we just love you, and we are gathered here this day to just celebrate your goodness. Father, just receive our worship, for we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, it seems that everyone wants to back a winner. Have you ever noticed that? Like, it seems that everyone wanted to become Cubs fans whenever they won the World Series here back a few years ago, or how everyone becomes a fan of whoever wins the Super Bowl. Unless, of course, it's maybe the Cowboys. Yet on the other side, you have all of those true fans, that nucleus of loyal fans who, although their team might not do so well year after year, yet these diehards, they just stay right with them through thick and thin. And you know what'll happen whenever this team starts winning, when they enter the playoffs or whatever they're vying for the championship? Suddenly, everyone will become fans. But you know, that happens not just in sports, but it also happens in entertainment and politics and even business. And I can't help but to wonder if part of the reason for this is our universal human need to worship. Oh, we all long to worship someone, something bigger than ourselves. It's why people often make heroes out of celebrities, out of ordinary people. We are wired for worship. It's so strong in us that if we don't find a worthy object to worship, we'll settle for all sorts of things, even unworthy things. And that's why what we do right here is so important each and every weekend, because there is inexpressible delight and wholeness and fulfillment to be found in worshiping the one who revealed himself as the Son of Man, the sinner's friend, the anointed one, the coming King. These titles were themes of our worship these last few Sundays, as we've shared in a series of messages and worship experiences entitled, Who Do You Say I Am? They're based on a movie, The Son of God, a film portraying the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, as well as the message and mission that he shared. All this morning, we're going to look at the portrayal of Jesus as the coming King, the one who was promised by the prophet Zechariah when Zechariah penned these words. All rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Oh, church, this prophecy was fulfilled as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Those in the crowd recognized him as their coming King, the promised Messiah, as Jesus made this very public and pointed claim to be the one that they had all awaited. Oh, today on Palm Sunday, we celebrate not a claim, but the divine truth that Jesus is the coming King. Oh, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Messiah, the very Son of God, and by no other name or way do we come to the Father. Oh, church, this day is known as the triumphal entry, the day Jesus entered Jerusalem and the crowds shouted, Hosanna! A word that means save us. All this crowd proclaimed Jesus their King, the King who is coming to save them. This is a phrase and a prophetic fulfillment of the coming Messiah found in Psalm 118, where in verse 25 and 26 it says, Lord, save us. Oh Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. You know, in many churches today, especially those who have traditional worship services, Psalm 118, verses 14 to 29 is the opening psalm for worship. These beautiful words, they depict the salvation that the Messiah will bring when he comes in all of his glory. Churches all around the world today are streaming, and they are online, and they're celebrating the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, the Sunday before Easter. You know, Jesus once asked his closest friends, "Who do you say that I am?" Oh, this day reveals the answer to that question. Just as Peter answered correctly that you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God, this day reveals that very same truth. And it reveals Jesus is also our coming King, the one spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Well, the people of Jesus' day, of course, they didn't fully understand the nature of Jesus' kingdom and the scope of his salvation, but they clearly welcomed the rabbi of Nazareth as a king that day, and he accepted their worship, though he knew how quickly things would change. And in that fact is a great truth. Listen, Jesus will rule as king where he is received as king. Oh, listen, that day, many who had known him a long time and others who had to ask who he was received him as king, though they had much to learn about him and his kingdom. And so it is today. Whether you have known Jesus a long time or you're still asking who this Jesus is, he will rule as king where he is received as king. For those of us who call him Lord, who call him Savior, call him Son of God and friend, we must do what Jesus says if we recognize him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we have received Jesus as king, then we must serve him as king. This morning, let me suggest three ways by which we can do this. First, if Jesus is king in your life, then do what Jesus says. If Jesus is king in your life, then do what Jesus says. Let's look together at Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 29. Luke tells us, as Jesus approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying that colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it." Now think about this. Jesus sends two of his disciples on this strange little mission. And he said, "Go to this village, you know, up the road, untie this colt that you're going to find, and bring it to me." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us who went. It could have been Peter and Andrew. Maybe it was James or James and John. We really don't know. The Bible also doesn't tell us what they talked about on the way. But man, if it would have been me, I would have probably been saying, you know, "Do you really think that we should be untying a colt and just taking it? You think the master of the colt, has talked with, or the owner of the coat has talked to the master about this ahead of time? Do you think maybe this is some kind of test?" or maybe you really think that they'll just let us walk off with their colt? I mean, what if someone takes a swing at us? I mean, Jesus didn't say what we should do if somebody takes a swing at us. You see, we tend to read the Bible, God's Word, like a play, as if all the characters knew the script. But they didn't. They didn't know what they would find when they got to that cult, or even if there would be a cult. No more than what you or I would have known. But those disciples, whoever they were, they did what Jesus said. They did what Jesus asked of him. John's account of this says, at first, his disciples didn't understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things, to him. Oh, church, they didn't know how it was going to turn out. The cult thing, inner Jerusalem, any of it. But they simply did what Jesus said to do, and their simple obedience brought glory to God. Let's pick up the account again from Luke chapter 19, verse 36. It says, as he, Jesus, went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. All the streets erupted with the sounds of singing and shouting until looking at verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, oh, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Oh, if Jesus is King, and He is, then you could do no better than to follow the example of those two disciples who, though they had no way to know what the future would hold and what their actions would bring about, simply obeyed. Of course, I'm pretty sure your obedience and my obedience probably won't involve a donkey, but you never know. But only you and God will know what it will involve. Only you and God know what obedience He will require of you today, or this week, or in the months to come, or this next year. Maybe you know right now what He requires. Is He calling you to repentance and faith in Him to make that decision to follow Jesus? Is he telling you maybe now to forgive someone? To give someone help, to assist, to give something up maybe, to take something on, to say maybe yes to something, or to say no. Oh, whatever it is, you'll probably be amazed how your simple act of obedience will bring glory to God, just as it did that day in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. So, do what Jesus says, all right? But also, feel what Jesus feels. Feel what Jesus feels. Let's look at this next part of the story, beginning at Luke 19:41. It says, as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Oh, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Well, something happened on that ride that we don't talk about very often. In fact, many people never even notice this part of the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. We get so caught up in the crowd, the shouts, the emotion, that we let this detail slip right by us unnoticed. But from all indications, The crowds didn't notice it either. In fact, Luke is the only writer who recorded it. But don't let that pass you by today. It says to us, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept. He wept over it. Even today, from the Mount of Olives, even halfway up the slope, you can see the old city of Jerusalem, the city of our God. And on that hillside today is a tiny chapel with a tear-shaped dome that commemorates this moment when Jesus wept for Jerusalem. And the Greek word that is translated wept in our Bibles signifies more than just tears. Oh, it suggests that kind of soul-wrenching, that gut-wrenching, soul-racking, sobbing a person does at the side of a tomb of a friend. In fact, it is a word used of Mary's sobs at the tomb of her brothers, Lazarus, and of Mary Magdalene's sobs at Jesus' tomb. Oh, in other words, Jesus sobbed for the people of Jerusalem. Not for himself, not for the cross that awaited him, but for the faith that would come upon that city. Rather than the joyful shouts and praises that resounded all around, Jesus heard the shrieks and the groans of the men and the women and the children who would die in that city, when, as he had prophesied, the Roman general Titus would invade in 70 AD and lay waste to the city, destroying its glorious temple and brutalizing its rebellious people. Everyone else, you see, was having a party, celebrating, shouting out Hosanna that day, and Jesus was filled with compassion for the lost sheep of Israel who didn't even know their left hand from their right, who didn't even know their sad condition. Oh, that is a scene to remember if you bow before Jesus as King, because we as the King's people should be quick to feel what Jesus feels. Man, we should let our hearts be broken for those who are hurting, for those who are wondering, those who are searching, those who don't even know that they're searching. And church, that could be your neighbor. Man, that could be your colleague. Maybe it's a brother, a sister, or a mother, a father, a close friend. We should let our hearts break even for those casual acquaintances that you haven't yet who haven't yet experienced the forgiveness and the deliverance, the peace and the freedom that comes whenever you experience new life in faith through Jesus Christ. Oh, church, if you let yourself feel what Jesus feels, it'll bring a flood of compassion into your heart for the people around you. So if Jesus is your King, and He is, if Jesus is King and He is, do what He says and feel what Jesus feels. And then finally, tell who Jesus is. Tell who Jesus is. Oh, look up. Look at the conclusion of the Palm Sunday story, where after receiving the cheers and the shouts of the crowd, after crying over the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus rode that donkey through the city gates with the crowds pressing in on him from every direction. And Matthew's gospel says this, that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and they asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Oh, when Matthew reports that the city was stirred, he uses the word psio, from which we get the word seismic, psio, seismic. It's the same word that Matthew used later in his gospel when he said that at the moment Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook. The earth shook and the rocks split. The city was stirred. The city was stirred, and as it would later be shaken by an earthquake. But that's what should happen if you and I, if our church does what Jesus says and feels what Jesus feels, the whole city will be stirred. The whole area will be shaken. And that's what our world, I believe, is waiting for today. Our world, our city, our town is waiting to see if there really is a God, especially now in these days, at this time, with all that is happening. They're waiting to see if God really does care. And you and I have the answer for that. Church, I truly believe, as our bishop has shared with us many a times, that after this season of frustration, after this season of this pandemic is over, that the church may very well see revival that has never seen before. And church, I am waiting for that. But church, listen, our world is truly waiting to see if who we are and what we are and who God truly is really matters. They're waiting to see if He really does care. They're waiting to see if the people who fill the churches, the people who sing His praises and claim to know Him, are any different than anyone else. If their God can really be trusted, if their faith really can do anything. Oh, church, without a doubt, as a Christian, you and I are noticed by others, especially by those who may be silently seeking. And if they see us doing what Jesus says and feeling what Jesus feels for them, they may very well ask, what's going on? What's this about? Who is this Jesus? And then, of course, we can tell who Jesus is and introduce our friends and our neighbors and our family members and our classmates and our co-workers to the prophet from Nazareth. The one who was far more than just a prophet, but literally the Messiah of God, the risen Christ, the King who is King of all kings, who came, this King who will come again, and who is always coming to any and all who would receive Him. Today we celebrate our King, our Messiah, our very best friend who rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey and in the course of just a few days changed the course of our eternal destiny and made the way possible for us to live in relationship with Him forever. This is God's good word for you, God's people. Let's pray together. Loving God, Lord Jesus, our King, help us to follow You not only in word, but also in deed. Help us to do all that You say, to feel what You feel for everyone around us, and to tell all who will listen who You are and all You have done for us. For it's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.